All right, this is now our, which session is this? Eighth session. We lost the last two, but we'll continue on. We'll briefly review, and we'll move on. Today's date is what? August? I'm sorry. April. I mean, April 2nd.
That's like a boy version of April.
Okay. I made up a new word.
There was a kid, his name was Anil, and then the teacher called him April. When she was taking roll.
Okay. All right. So where are we? I kind of went through this last week, but for the people who you know are joining us, initially we made some intro remarks about why we're doing this seminar. Okay. What's the what? You know, why are we taking so much time doing this?
Whoa.
Okay. It's okay. We don't think you're that bad of a sinner. But, but the reason why we're going through this is because everyone has something to say about relationship. I personally think that this is the topic that churches need to kind of hammer down, because no matter what, everyone will be talking about relationships. Okay, even in our Apache with their sisters, while the brothers were asking deep theological questions, they were asking deep relational questions. Okay, situational stuff. Like, we didn't even know. Did we crack open the Bible today? Yeah, that's what I thought, okay? Oh, yeah.
So, dang!
Okay? I can't breathe.
But basically, no matter who you are, Asian, American, African, Saudi Arabian, whatever faith you're in, everyone talks about relationships, but no one talks about it with a biblical perspective, and that's why we're going through this. And so we looked at the goals of the seminar, and it's very, very clear. Our goals are two. Number one is to behave properly, okay, to the opposite gender, all right, and two, to honor God through that, all right. Now you don't have to write these down. I'm just going to briefly go through the outline, okay. So again, the issue is how to behave, and that's why we went to James chapter 3, behavior of those who are part of God's kingdom will act in this manner. And that's really the issue. You know, people just act differently. They behave differently when they're liking this person. And we, not that we want to curtail all sorts of our behavior, but we want to help the guy or girl learn to behave or react or respond in a biblical manner. Okay? And then to honor God by adorning the doctrine of God. Okay? Remember, everything we do, we adorn the doctrine of what we hold to by our behavior. The sad thing is churches, when they have relationships, you know, when a pastor gets into a relationship, it's all hush hush. Right? But the thing is, what is there to hide unless you're sinning? You know what I'm saying? What is there to hide? I mean, why do we have to go through like, oh, don't give me all this information, this and this and that? Obviously, you know, you guys are just sick and tired of me giving you details about what's going on. Okay. But at least you should know what's going on. I mean, it should not be suspicious. If it's biblical, if it's honest, if it's right, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, even if it does not work out. Is that clear? Because today, what people have done is made relationship into some sort of a self-esteem issue. I've gotten her, or I've gotten him. And if it doesn't work out, they feel what? Embarrassed. But what's the deal here? I mean, if it's a sovereignty of God issue, have you lost anybody? No. As much as, I won't use myself as an example, as much as this person likes this person, and this just happens to look like Pauline and act like Pauline and talk like, okay, and this person just looks like, no, forget it, okay? As much as two people want to be with one another, if the Lord will not allow, what is there to be upset about or embarrassed about? Obviously, the heart's going to be broken, emotion's going to be kind of, you know, whatever, but we ultimately believe the Lord will never withhold that which is what? Good. Amen to that? Is everyone clear? Okay. Romans 8:32 is the passage I always go to. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us what? All things. If Christ will not withhold the highest good, which is Jesus Christ, why would he withhold anything else? Thus, if it doesn't work out, praise God. Right? OK? Okay? And so we're adorning the doctrine of God. Okay? We're learning to trust in Him. We're not making this into like, how can I win that person over? That's not the goal of the seminar. Okay? So we had to look at some presuppositions before we began. Our capability as sinners, foolishness being bound in our heart, our we talked about lust versus love, okay? You know, how do we distinguish the difference, this and that, okay? And then last week, we went through the foundational attitude of any seeking to be in a relationship. Okay? And three things, two things really. Number one, okay, is to please Him. Okay, to please God. And two, to be an example to others. Actually, three. Well, we're going to switch this. To find a spouse for building God's kingdom. Okay? Let me just briefly go through this again for those who weren't here last week. Okay? This is just kind of like what I've kind of concluded after some thought. Again, what usually happens when people fall in love? It's usually just her and I, or him and another girl, and it's just all lovey-dovey. It's just kind of like, we just want to be alone, right? We just want our quote-unquote alone time, you know? And every time we're together, it's just, all these flowers and bubbly, you know, balloons and bubbles and just all of this emotional stuff going on. There's no desire for anything else but just to be with each other. Now, I understand that. Okay? I understand that there is this there's this love and care for that one person. But, Mega, you got to understand, we're not here to please ourselves. We need to be here to please who? Please Him. And where are we getting this from? Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And that passage says, we are here to please Him in all respects. Okay? And let's turn that passage, okay, and remind ourselves. Because, I deal with young men who want to date other women and they want to, date people in our church or whatever. And I look at that guy and I see no desire to truly please God. It's really, I want to gain that woman for myself. And as some brother in our church, well, he's a new believer now, he told me that in his past state, okay, in his ungodly state, that it didn't matter if the girl said no. I'm confident if I chop at the tree long enough, the tree will eventually what? Right, tree will eventually fall. I mean, he had that much arrogant confidence in himself. Okay, there was no godliness to offer her. There was no leadership. Okay, there was no okay? Remember his past state. There is nothing to offer in terms of righteousness. Right, Glenn? Okay?
Yeah.
But there was such confidence. I mean, when he responded, he's like, what are you talking about? I just have to just stop when she says no. Come on, I'm going to pull out my A game. You know, things like that. Okay? There is no desire to please God there. Okay? In someone's past state. Okay, but now it's obviously different. Amen? Huh? Yeah. Okay. There's a desire to please Him in all respects. There's no confidence in ourselves. And two, there must be a desire to be an example to others. Okay? Again, when I see young men and women trying to start a relationship, my question is this. Are you willing to be an example? Okay? Are you willing to be used by, as a sermon illustration sometimes, okay, and not be ashamed? I mean, you can say, we have nothing to be embarrassed about in front of others. Does that make sense? Obviously, when a couple is married, then I let them go and they do their own private thing. I'm not going to talk about them. But if you're dating, what right do you have to demand, quote-unquote, what?
Privacy.
What right? Well, this is just between us two. No, it's not. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? And I'm getting this passage from Matthew 28:19-20. Okay? Deuteronomy. Okay, chapter 4, verse 9. Okay? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? Verse 26. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually what? Members of it. Now obviously this is talking about the context of the local Corinthian church, right? But the issue was clear. In this church, there was a lot of fighting going on. And he's telling them, look. Which one?
What was the chapter?
Deuteronomy. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 9. Okay. Talks about teaching the next generation to be an example so that they might know. Okay? So the principle is clear. No matter what it is, again, we're not talking about just relationship. We're talking about every part of your life. Okay? Every part. Therefore, if you are already living a life that pleases God, okay, every day as a single bachelor, and you want it to be an example to others, it will not be a big deal when you get involved with someone together on the way to what?
Marriage.
The way to marriage. Why do young couples get into such big trouble physically, sexually? Because they're always what? By themselves. Right? They don't want to expose themselves to others because as long as it's private, you can do whatever you what? Want. And you'll be surprised. The most godliest person and the most godly young lady, when they get involved physically, they will start lying. Okay, they will start hiding. I've seen, okay, the worst case. Okay, it's really sad. And, okay, because they in love with that guy, they don't want him to get in trouble, so they'll lie. You know, they won't tell anybody. Guys, in a relationship, as we will learn here, if you or your boyfriend or girlfriend, okay, is sinning, you have the complete obligation by God to confront that person. If Frank sins, Megan is not to support him and say, oh, I love you, I care for you, I'm not going to bring this up. Immediately she should confront him. And if he doesn't listen, she comes to me. And then if he doesn't repent, it's off with your head. Okay? And I will not hesitate pulling out my sword from the sheath. Okay? Because the Bible is sharper than any double-edged sword. Okay? Even though it's thick, it's going to hurt a little bit more, but it will get through. Okay? All right? And same thing, you know, because he loves Megan so much, she sins or whatever, and he's like, oh, you know, but I have to be more loving and caring or whatever. Even when you get married, if your spouse sins, what are you supposed to do? Do you know why so many families go down the drain? Husband or wife sins, and what happens to them? Nobody what? Just think about it. Will I be able to go into their family every day and watch what they're doing? No. It's inside their home. It's private. If they won't hold each other accountable, if they want to please him, right? And let's say that this was like their life before they got together with somebody. If you truly did not want to be pure in the eyes of God as a bachelor, then it will work its way into your life as a couple on the way to marriage. And in your marriage as well. Okay? And fourthly, okay, is to find a spouse for building God's kingdom. Okay? Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Let's turn. Now, this is something that people rarely talk about. As if to say that, you know what, as a single person, seek first God's kingdom, but never add this in with regards to finding their spouse, as if it's just going to happen. Now, again, when you get married, men, listen carefully. That woman that you are going to get married to is going to pull you around. You might think, okay, that you're going to lead her. Guys, you have to understand one thing about leadership. You can only go as far as the people who what? You're called a leader because you have a group to lead. If there's no group to lead, you're failing to be a what? Can you imagine? Let's say I'm all by here by myself in this room. None of you are here. And I say, oh, I'm going to teach Bible study to an empty room. Oh, I'm a leader. Okay? What I mean by this is this. Wise have a tendency to be weaker, which is the biblical thing. Okay? And so you can only go so far as how much your wife wants to what? And because the Bible mandates that you love your wife, that you're not going to go beyond what she's capable of doing. Does that make sense? Okay? Like Spurgeon, oh man, when he was going to get married, he was engaged. And I don't know how they got, you know, they were in love. And he was such a popular guy. At age 19, he became the pastor of this huge church, and it just quadrupled. It was tens of thousands, okay? So he's a famous guy. And so he got engaged. And he went to this one church, and everyone was like, oh, Charles, Mr. Dr. Spurgeon, whatever, they got all gathered on him, and he kind of just lost his fiance in the crowd. And she got all flustered up, and so she left and went to her home and just cried. And he's all looking for her, right? And he's like, oh, she must be back home. So he walked home, and she's like, you left me, you care about your ministry more. And he said something like this. He said, in this relationship, you come second. God comes first. And that was the end of the conversation, and she understood her position. Okay? Now, with a guy like Spurgeon, you can get away with that. Okay? With most women, okay, he can say, I don't care who's God, I know. And once you're married to her, it's over. Okay? But that's why they'll say this. If you're a Korean pastor, make sure, if you want a Korean ministry, you have to marry what? A Korean woman. Because if you marry a white woman or another, like a Chinese, she's not going to feel as what? Comfortable. Unless she's super duper godly, which I have a hard time believing. Okay? So if she's not enjoying the fellowship there, what are you going to do as a pastor? Leave and find a what?
Church that comforts her.
A Chinese church. Okay, so you can only go so far. So guys, listen, the girl that you're looking at for marriage really will show how far you want to go in ministry as well. It's not just choose whoever might be pretty or somewhat godly. It's you're going to have some, because look at Matthew 6:33, and you have to deal with this word. Okay? Does anyone have some water? It's the time I'm going to trust the Lord and not be germophobic. Okay?
Which one?
You probably don't want mine.
Yeah, I think Andrea's cleaner. Okay. Okay, let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. But seek first his kingdom. Stop. Okay. What's the first three words? You have to seek what?
But seek first.
Okay. You're going to have to deal with that word first. Okay? That applies to whether you're single, bachelor, dating, marriage, old, young, dying, graveyard, cancer, AIDS, bionic knee. Okay? Whatever it might be, okay, you're going to have to seek first God's kingdom. Now, that means priority in terms of emphasis. Obviously, as a student, you're going to have to put your studies quote-unquote first. Okay? But again, when people are looking to find a spouse, they're mostly looking for someone who might just like them, right? Okay, I'm a guy. I know what it feels like, okay, to be kind of like, I wonder how she feels about what? Me. And then you look for anybody who's just willing to flirt with you back. And then think, oh, you're in love with her because she's really nice to you. So you have all of these women in mind, and then here's a really godly one, but you're like, oh, she's... And guys say something like this, she's out of my what?
League?
What kind of a statement, what kind of a cowardice statement is that? Okay, there's no woman out of your league. Amen, brothers? Mm-hmm. Oh, guys, come on. Okay? Huh, let me hear from you, man.
No.
Okay? There's no such thing, because you as a man need to lead. Okay? I'm not telling you to be like arrogant or boastful about your spirituality. But usually it's the other way around. We're not looking for the most spiritual person. We're looking for anything, any spark of spirituality. Like, they know where Genesis is. Oh man, she's spiritual. And as long as she likes me, it's A-OK. Right? That's how guys work. sisters, that's how low, you know. And Megan, no, she told me one time, girls know that guys are just these flimsy, cowardice guys. So as long as they flirt with the guys, they'll just immediately respond. She told me that's what she did in high school with all of her friends. Not that she
not
was.
All of them. Jeez.
Yeah, 99.99% of them did that. Paulton should know, right? He got pulled around a lot at LAB.
Oh, whoa.
Okay?
Guys need to have some more spine, okay? You don't let the forbidden woman, okay? Psalm, Proverbs chapter what? 22 verse 14.
14.
You need to memorize that.
Yeah, okay? All right, what does it say?
The mouth of forbidden women
is a deep pit. He with whom the Lord is angry will fall into it. Okay? Why did I bring that verse up?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay?
You just
oh, meaning, don't go for the most least godliest woman who just happens to be crazy about you because you look cute. Or she thinks your hair is nice. Okay, Chris. Okay, you look for somebody, guys. Again, you are investing your life into this. You're going to be married for the rest of your life, and being married to one who's like chains, okay, is worse than death. Being married to one who will not share the goals that you have, okay, is the most worst, you know, thing. So again, you're gonna have to want to find a spouse to build up the kingdom of God with. Okay, all right, now let's look at a proper view. Okay, fifthly, this is where we're gonna start our lecture today. Proper view of male and female relationships. Okay. This is going to be interesting. I hope this will be very, very fruitful. And then after that, we're going to look at about six passages, okay? And then afterwards, hopefully we'll finish this in 2 weeks, and then we'll look at the pre-confrontation, the confrontation, and then the post-confrontation. Okay, I think someone was asking me, when are we going to get there, okay?
I was wondering.
Yeah? Pauline was hoping for me to wait until then, but she says she's thankful. Anyways, I'll stop talking about it.
Oh my
right. Genesis chapter 2. I gotta hold back. But I will tell you about the time when I farted in the library and blamed her for it. She's gonna listen to this later, that's why I need to. Huh, did you hear?
And
no. Yeah?
Everyone else who comes to our website streams it well.
It's okay. Sorry, Pauline. Thank you for forgiving me.
It's like 4 or 5.
Okay. Proper view. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Let's read that together. Okay? 1, 2, 3. The Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to what? To keep it, okay? Right? Now, keep in mind, there are no instructions in the scriptures on how to date, okay? The word how to date is not in the scriptures. And you have to get that clear in your mind. There is no, like, one set procedure. Okay, if people say things like courting is biblical, that's wrong. If they say dating is biblical, that's wrong. It's just there's nothing mentioned in scriptures except to give you what a man of God is supposed to be and a woman of God is supposed to be and how they're supposed to what? Relate with one another. Okay? The scriptures gives us spiritual qualifications on what to look for, and then we are to go and pursue someone who has those qualities. Does that make sense? Okay? That's all it says. Find someone with these godly virtues. Chase them. Now, it doesn't tell us how to chase them. It doesn't. Okay? And historically, back at that time, yes, the father basically sold the daughter away when the man gives him a what? A dowry price. A camel. Yeah. Hey, my daughter's worth 3 camels. You got it? Oh, yeah, 4? Oh, yeah, she's yours. Okay? It was pretty much a business exchange. There was not much. Some had romance, I mean, obviously, but it wasn't as quite like as free as we would want it to be today. As you gotta understand, just because the Bible talks about that doesn't mean we apply it that way. It's descriptive of the history. So there's no one particular way of going about searching for your spouse. Some think that courtship is biblical, but that's not true. Dating and courtship is filled with cultural nuances. Okay? Okay? And does not apply to every person who are Christian. Now what that means is this. The Bible doesn't talk about how to date because it's culturally adaptive. Meaning, if I were to marry a tribal woman, okay? Let's say I went to Africa as a missionary and the chief really liked me and he wanted me to marry his daughter, right? And she's converted now, you know? I'm going to have to, let's just say that I really liked her first and then I talked to the chief about this, okay? And he wanted me to go and kill a buffalo. Okay? Well, you want my daughter? Prove that you're a man. I've never killed a buffalo. Dude, I'm scared of buffaloes, okay? And he says, here's a stick. Now, that's how they, what? Okay? So do I need to be sensitive to that? Yes. Are you guys with me on this? Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of people get themselves into a rut because they're not as sensitive to culture. They're like, oh, you know, I'm American now. I'm going to do this the American way. No, look, the family that you're approaching, they have a procedure that they have in mind. You need to be sensitive to that. And so sometimes it requires a man walking up to the dad like white people. Hey, Mr. So-and-so, I like your daughter. Can I date her? You go to a Korean parent and do that, they'll smack you on the side of your head and say, you crazy? Right? Who invited you to my home? And so you have to be very, very understanding that there's no one way. It's got to be done with principles. Now, what is spoken clearly in the scriptures is marriage. Okay? When there's two people... Okay. Man, she got a long neck. Okay.
It's a giraffe.
Both of them, okay, have a view not on themselves and their current situation is they want to head toward marriage. And that's what's clear. Now, what is marriage though? And the reason why the Bible makes this so clear because everything you do needs to respect that. Are you guys with me on this? Meaning there's no boundary per se on where can we go date? You know, how much time can we spend with each other? You know, all these details that people say things like, oh, when you first date, by the way, don't go to Disneyland. I mean, that's left for like the 100th day. I mean, they come up with all of this like 21st day, 30th day, 40th day, the 50th day, 56th day. I mean, I'm going by sevens right now. Seven. I'm just kidding. I'll stop. Okay? All right. Because that's not the picture. The picture is if they both know what marriage is supposed to be biblically, then everything they do as an individual before the day of their marriage must be an application of their respect for that. You guys with me on this? Okay? So, chapter 2, verse 15, what does it say? The man that God made. Notice it says, God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Now, I'm not going to go through all the interpretations here. I'm just going to give you like the practical stuff for, you know, in terms of man and woman relationship. Number one, look at that phrase, God took the man and put him in the garden. What does that mean? Well, number one, working is not the choice of man. Okay? Man did not choose to work or what? Or not to work. Notice the verb. God what? Took. God took. Meaning, here, just imagine this. He wasn't made in the garden. He was made somewhere. God formed him. He woke up and stood up. And he's just standing there like, you know? Can you just imagine what Adam was thinking? And God said, oh, hey, get to work, buddy. Whack. Smack in the middle of the garden, it said, work. Your job is to do what? Cultivate it. Now, in this perfect society, okay, my friend, his name is James Ha, they have Ha's Apple Farm. there's sometimes here in the farmer's market, his parents come and they sell Fuji apples. Okay? Next time you go down there, look for them. He told me when they first started farming, it was so difficult. Trees would die because bacteria, pesticides, and they have to, you know, cultivate it, care for it. It was difficult. Just think about it. In our sin-stained world, it's very difficult to grow a plant. It should have been much easier during this first minute of life, right? God made the tree is perfect. There's no sin. There's nothing. But, and yet, rather than the trees going by itself, someone still had to do well with it. Okay. Interestingly enough, okay, working for a man in his pre-sinful state, in his perfect state, he still had to work. Okay. He had to, when it says the word cultivate, it means to dress it, to care for it, to keep it. Okay. So what one thing we need to understand for a man, we're looking at the man for a second here, okay? Man's responsibility, even before he had a wife, is work. Okay? You know how people say things like this? I'm working to support my what?
Family?
Which is true. But even if we didn't have a family, we still need to what?
Work.
Not because we're still out of college, we just need to eat. Because this is God ordained plan for men. Okay? Work is ordained by God. Okay? And I'll say this, as a student, your study is ordained by God. It is an ordination of God. It has been decreed before sin. Meaning, you know, some guys will say this, oh gosh, if Adam and Eve didn't sin, we would just all be naked and just lounge around and eat fruits all day. No, we'll be naked and working in the fields, okay? Basically, the earth will be filled with people, okay, working, young men working, gardening, I guess, okay? And bringing flowers home to their lovely wives or whatever. Well, what I'm saying is, it's God's calling for men. Meaning, God designed you to work. Does that make sense? You are most happy and functional as a human being when you get to what? Work. Okay? Now again, I don't mean to use myself as an example in terms of like the perfect state or whatever, but when I don't get my work done in terms of Bible study and this and that, I feel miserable. But when I get my job done, I feel very, very what? Satisfied. Because I know I'm pleasing who? Yeah, God. And guys, you have to start thinking of your study in this manner. It is not, oh, let me just finish that assignment and go play. It's, I need to be an excellent worker in this academic field. You know, Han was sharing, you know, he wishes that he was saved earlier, right? To have learned this, because he's wasted the first years of his life. For me, man, I wasted almost 4 years of my college life. I mean, I didn't, you know, not study, but I looked at it purely as just get the job done and do everything else. Go witness. All I could think about was get my homework done so I can do Bible study and witness. If only someone taught me this, I would have put more emphasis and energy into work, into studying. Okay? So men are designed to work. It is the will of God for men. Okay? While vacation is necessary and beneficial, yet working is the goal of every man, not the vacation. Does that make sense? The reason why we should, like, I know people, they work to go on a what? Yeah, seriously, I've seen people work their butt off just to make it to those 2 weeks of paid leave. Guys, that paid leave is so that we can recuperate, so that we can get back to what? Work. Again, this is not talking about what kind of occupation you have. It's any job that you have. And so every job taken must be done to the worship of God, to the thanking Him for the job, When a man is faithful in his career, it is a worship unto the Lord because he is doing what he's designed to do and recognizing the Creator that made him that way. And a sub-corollary to this is this. Young men must strive to be diligent and be able to provide for themselves and their future home. Today, young men, they can think about is this. When I get married, then I'll think about the better what? Job. Or they, young men think of it this way now. My wife will also what? Yeah, my wife will also what? So they, you know, they say things like this. When you go to college, you need to discover yourself. Major in the things that you actually like. Well, I like to draw cartoons. Well, go major in art. Now, some guys are talented. They can make millions of dollars making cartoons, but not everybody, right? You're going to have to do not what you feel like doing, but what will be beneficial for the future. Young men need to understand that diligence will be rewarded by the Lord while laziness will be condemned. Turn to Proverbs 22:29. Proverbs 22:29. Can we open the door for a few sec? I can get some fresh air in here. Okay. Talk a little quietly, but Proverbs 22:29. Let's read that together. Count three. We'll wait for everyone to get there. Okay. Proverbs 22:29. Let's read. 1, 2, 3. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will not. He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Okay. Do you see a man skilled? And when I read this, you know what I put here? I put John MacArthur. So skilled in his task that he now can go in front of CNN and basically represent God on the media. Okay. Proverbs 21:17. Okay. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17. This is very convicting. Sisters, this applies to you too, okay? Can I count to you? 1, 2, 3. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. Okay? You love pleasure, the Lord will eventually bring you. Turn to Proverbs 21, verse 5. Okay, look at verse 5. Okay, let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Okay? I've seen sisters who plan well for the future. Their job, their major, their, you know, graduate school program. Guys, they're just more like, oh, I'll just do whatever comes next. You know, not planning ahead. It says here, the plans of the diligent. The diligent. You have to look ahead. Turn to Proverbs 14:23. Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all labor there is what? Yeah, but?
Mere talk.
Mere talk leads only to what? How many guys know guys who talk big and study little? You know, especially when they're trying to impress the dad. I'm gonna do this, and then, you know, they go home and they open up their PlayStation 2 and they start whacking away at their enemies, right? As if it's real, that their whole life dependent on it. Okay. Now let's look at Genesis 2:18. Okay. This is very, very interesting. Go back to Genesis 2:18. So God makes man, puts him in a garden, and he's tending it. Now the woman has not been made yet. Okay? Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said. Now you gotta understand, when it says that, it's saying whatever is about to be said is from the mind of God. The Lord God said, it is not what? Good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Man, I thank God that he realized that before. Adam did not realize that he was what? Yeah. Think about it. He just got made. There was no community or society that he ever experienced. just hit him with a bunch of what?
Animals.
And God said, name them. See, male gorilla, female gorilla. Male rhinoceros, girl rhinoceros. Dog, Mr. Cat, Mrs. Cat. And Mr. Human. Hmm? He's looking around for a helper. How come everyone has got their mate except for me? Okay. And so, verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Okay. So the Lord said, meaning this is God's estimation. Okay. As perfect as this man was, in his perfect state, there was still something lacking, that it is not good to be alone. Now, he's not talking about being lonely. He's talking about just being by himself. Okay? And so, when he says the word alone there, he's talking about the need for a what?
Companion.
A compadre. A comrade. Okay? Comrade. Guys, we're looking for comrades. Okay?
Comrade.
So, when you ask a girl out is, would you like to be my comrade for life? Okay? And notice what it says there, okay? A suitable helper for him. Look at that passage again, okay? Verse 18. It is not good for man to be alone, so that's God's estimation. Meaning, he endorses what?
Marriage.
Okay? Unless you're given the gift of celibacy, marriage is to be sought after. Okay? You know, I hear these young guys say, oh, I don't want to get married. Whatever, until like this age, this and age. Some girls like, oh, I'm not going to get married until I finish this, this, and this, and that. Guys, you understand. If God wants you to get married. Right? Meaning you should desire marriage as the Lord allows. Not like, Lord, I'm not going to get married until then. And who are you to tell God what's right? It says here, it is not good for man to be alone. And then it says, I will make him a what? So why were women made? To be a what?
Helper.
Helper, okay? Now, a lot of conservative people will look at that and go, oh, no, you know, we don't want to make women look lowly or whatever. And so they'll say this. The word for helper in the Hebrew is also used of God being a helper to Israel. Well, it's true. But I don't think that they meant it that way. There's nothing demeaning about a woman being a what? A helper. Just think about it. Women were not made to replace the leadership, meaning the man does not need another leader. When I hear young men say things like this, oh, I want to look for a more godlier or spiritual wife so that she can lead me. No, God made Eve not to lead Adam. God made Eve to what? Help him. Help him do what? Help him do what?
Work.
Okay, a woman's job is to be a helper. Her primary task is twofold. Okay, a woman's task is twofold. To provide companionship to the man. Okay, now usually it's the other way around. You know, I want a man for me. Okay, women, understand. You are made to support your man, okay? And two, okay, to help, to enable her husband, what did I say, her bubby, her husband, her husband, her husband to get the job done, okay? What's the helper? Okay? Proverbs talks about the contentious woman. That is better to live in the desert than with a contentious woman who's a constant dripping that'll never stop. Okay? A wife is not in the home to make her husband's life miserable. Okay? The husband is called to work, get his job done. It's not good for him to do this alone, so she's to provide companionship for him and to enable her husband to get that job done. And usually today, it's completely backward, right? She wants her own career. She wants to lead the home. She wants to do all this. going against what she is designed to be. Okay? Now again, as a single woman, you don't know if you're going to get married. You're hoping to. So you strive after your career. But if God brings that man into your life, understand when you get married, you're supposed to provide him the companionship and to enable him or her husband to get the job, to get the job done. Okay? I tell the wives at our church, your job is to make your husband the most spiritual, to get most ministry work done, not to hinder him, but to enable him to do what he was called to do. Now look at Genesis 2:21. Okay, as we move on. So he needs a helper. So what does God do? He takes it from his what? His rib. Now I heard this in a cute little illustration that God didn't take woman out of the head so that she can trample over his intellect. God didn't take the woman out of the foot so that he won't trample all over her. But he took her out of the rib because she's side by side. The arm will protect. This is so like, the rib will protect the heart while the arm protects the rib. Like, you get it?
Oh.
I got this from some pastor, some guy on the radio. Okay, whatever. Now, it says right here, verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. Okay? That's how you find a wife. Go to sleep. You wake up, man. Oh, she's there. Okay? And he slept, and then he took one of his ribs. This is the first surgery. Now, can you just imagine that? It says he actually opened up the rib. So, yeah, it's an actual surgery. He opened up the rib, and he had taken from the man, and he fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Okay? Now, let's look at that phrase, he took one of the ribs. Okay? What's the significance there? Took one of his ribs and fashioned. Okay? A woman. Okay? Well, number one, it indicates that women are God's what?
Creation.
Right? That's true. Isn't that clear? God made a woman. Okay, he created that woman, not from dirt, but from the rib. Okay? That means they are, implies, obviously, they're equal in worth. Okay? They're both creatures of God. However, they're made what? From different substance. Men equal what?
Dirt.
Women equal a rib. Meaning, even though they are equal in worth, okay, they are different by design. Okay? They're not the same. Okay, they're not the same. Alright? Men are made from dirt, women are made from rib. We're not the same. Even though we're equal in worth, meaning we're all creatures of God, right? We have dignity. But men are different than women. Okay? There's nothing same about this two groups of people. There's nothing equal in that ultimate sense that men are equal with women or women are equal with men. Look, we're different. The issue is not about equality of the sexes. It's about design. Is that clear? People always argue about equality of the sexes. That's not even the issue. The issue is, what are you designed to do as a man? What are you designed to do as a woman? Okay? And so, since they're different, obviously, they have to be treated what? Yeah. They have to be treated differently. We must get rid of this idea that men and women are equal in every sense of the term. Men and women must be treated differently, and they must now act what? Differently. Okay, if you're designed to be different, okay? And young men must learn this. Because today, young men do not know how to treat young women as a different being. They treat them like they're buddy-buddy. Okay? Like, my best friend, like my other guy friends, she's so cool, whatever. No, they are weaker, they're more sensitive. Young men need to learn how to treat young women with sensitivity and care, not like another male friend who's made out of dirt. Okay? Okay, there's a way to treat dirt. There's a different way to treat what?
Bone.
Yeah.
Be harder.
Be harder?
Bone. It's harder.
Yeah. Obviously someone's got a lot to learn before he gets into a relationship. Okay. Now this idea, this rib, is the word woman in the Hebrew means soft. Okay. That's why majority, not all, women are pretty softy. They're like, you know, you poke them and they'll get bruised. Okay, they're just different chemical makeup, right? Guys, I know there's a lot of guys who are like kind of sensitive and womanly, whatever, but generally guys are supposed to be more masculine. It's biblical to be macho hacho, okay? In a humble mumble way, okay? Right? But we have to understand, women are not to be treated equal with what? Men. Okay, we have to care for them in a different manner. Now look at Genesis 2:23, and we're going to close with this. Verse 23 and 24. So man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his what? Wife, and they shall become one flesh." Okay, this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage here. Okay, this will tell us a lot about how to have quote unquote date, okay, or court, or whatever. Okay, all right. It says right there, leave his father and mother. Okay, so then the phrase that we're going to use is leave and cleave. Okay. Guys, marriage is not getting married and adding on to your dad's family. Okay? The Old Testament has a lot of that. Jewish culture, Asian culture has a lot of that. It's not biblical. From the very beginning, God made it clear, when you get married, you're supposed to what?
Leave
and cleave. You leave your family and you cleave to your wife. And the word cleave indicates like gluing. Putting two things together and gluing it, making them stick. Now, look at the word leave for a second. Who is he to leave? His what? His family. What does that mean? Well, when you're born, you know, you're from your mother's womb, you're cared for by your family, you're brought up by your family. Your family is your what? Closest relationship. Okay? If not by sheer blood. Okay? So that means prior to marriage, your family is the closest thing you got. Marriage is the next closest thing. Does that make sense? It's not the next, it's the newest closest relationship now. Meaning when a person leaves their family, they're leaving their closest relationship behind, and they're now the closest to one another. In fact, it's so close that they become one what?
Flesh.
One flesh. You can't get any closer than being one flesh. Two people, okay, one flesh. And people who have a hard time understanding Trinity just have to look at marriage. Two different persons, two distinct personalities, and yet they're called one what? Okay?
That's why he doesn't like
where
it.
Okay.
So, marriage, okay, understand. You need to understand this.
Yes, my friend doesn't like you either.
Is the closest relationship, okay, to, I'll make this big, opposite what? Marriage is when you're close to the opposite gender. Okay. Thus, until you get married, that boundary, your relationship in that dating relationship should portray that boundary. Does that make sense? Are you guys with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everything you do, just think about it, we don't need to talk about every little thing. Since marriage, a man and a wife, is the closest thing to the opposite gender, that means before marriage, if you're dating a sister or have a boyfriend, girlfriend, your relationship, whatever it's going to look like, needs to portray this fact. That we're not that close until we get what? Yeah. And we're talking about physical union, spiritual union, everything. Okay? Now, obviously, people are going to get pretty close in their relationship, but still, whatever Frank and Megan do in public or in private, they need to portray the fact that they understand marriage is the closest relationship. Not right now. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't, you know, become intimate and get close to one another and get to know one another in that sense, but there's always this line, this invisible line that they cannot cross as a couple. And the conscience is always there. Look, this is not marriage. Dating is not marriage. You got to keep telling yourself that. You might have to even wear a sign every time you go out or something. We're not married. Okay? We can't do certain things. Right? There's only certain things that marriage couples can do. Okay? Anything outside of that, okay, it's permissible. But we got to understand, there's only... Okay? Being joined to a wife, being physically union with one, okay, must be understood. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16.
Americans.
I'm just kicking it just for survival right now, okay? Alright.
Is it that bad?
Yeah.
You wouldn't like it either.
Chemicals.
For sure.
You're smelling it.
See? American.
Alright. Anyways, let's look at chapter 6, verse 16. Okay, it says, do you not know that one who joins himself with a prostitute is one with what? Her, for he says the two shall become one flesh, meaning physical union consummates a lot of brings two people that close in one flesh. Okay, so one flesh, you can't get any closer to this. So this physical union entails everything, emotional, spiritual, physical, everything. You're just so close. So until then, your relationship with the opposite gender needs to reveal a what? A boundary. Okay. So, until you're married to her, she's not your wife, and vice versa, until you're married to him, he's not your husband. And so the practical aspects of male and female relationship must portray this idea. Whatever they decide to do, speak about, it must be a portrayal of, now get this, staying far away from the line of marriage as possible. Now, heading toward marriage does not mean we get closer and closer to what marriage people do. Getting closer to marriage is actually getting what? Married. Okay? So until then, whatever you speak about, because I know certain couples, when they get too cozy with each other, they talk about everything. You know? What a woman goes through, you know, bodily-wise, men. They talk about the most detailed things that only a husband and wife should talk about. No, until then, she's just a sister in Christ. You are a what? A brother in Christ, and you need to withhold certain things. You can't just say, oh, we're so close, we talk about everything. No, there must be some propriety there. Okay? So the guiding principle is this. Number one, okay? Each person in the relationship must realize, okay, that they have not left their family yet. Okay? Alright? Meaning yourself. You need to realize you haven't left the family, because here, when you're leaving cleaving, you're starting one new family. You know, someone asked this question, when does family begin? Some people thought, oh, when we have a child. No, the moment you're married, you are a what?
New family.
You're a new family. Until then, you haven't left your family yet. You got to respect that. As much as you want to leave your family, okay, be joined to that person, you got to understand this principle, okay? Number two, you don't belong to each other. You don't belong to each other. You can't claim them. Okay? Now, that's different than just saying that I'm just genuinely in love with that person. I want to be with that person. What I'm talking about is when couples manipulate each other. Don't you belong to me, you know? You're supposed to be faithful to me. Kind of deal like, you're supposed to be there for me, whatever. I mean, there's all this claim, name it and claim it on each other's lives until marriage. Okay? Number three. Okay? Dating, or we'll just call it dating for right now, must reflect, okay, a complete respect of this issue, okay? Right. So, from Genesis 2:28 or something, okay? They have not left their family yet. Once you get married, you're through. Okay, you break off all ties with your family. That doesn't mean you don't visit them, you don't love them. We're saying this: as a man, you don't go back to your dad. You are the dad, right? As a woman, you don't go back to your mom. You are the what? The mom. Mm-hmm. There's these counseling situations, right? It's really sad. You thought this will never happen, but men and women get married. The moment they have problems with their spouse, who do they run to?
Parents.
Yeah, their mama. Mama, my wife is treating me bad. They get their mom involved. Okay, not only that, okay, when they get married, the guy doesn't want to pay for his own home, so they live with their what?
Parents.
So leave and cleave means literally leave and cleave. All of their values, lifestyle, whatever. I mean, if it's godly, you want to carry that on, that's fine. But if they're not saved, you need to start, meaning your parents cannot interfere with marriage. We tell them, Pastor Cho, when he counsels people, makes it clear, your father and mother are not your parents now. They are now your friends. Okay? Meaning they cannot step in and say, do it this way, because before God, you are the head of the household. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't take counsel from them and, you know, advice from them, you know, out of respect and honor them. No. Until you die, you have to honor them. But what I'm saying is for these people who are like little babies, right? There's this counseling scenario where this young lady kept telling her husband, you're not like my dad. You're not like my dad. You don't act like my dad. My dad is so much better than you. Why can't you be like, what is that? Is she being a helper or what is she being? She's being a destroyer. Okay. Right? She needs to understand she's left her family and now cleaving onto this man. And she's going to call him her what? Her husband, her leader. Okay? And so there's a lot of counseling issues that can be cleared up if only people knew this. So much marriage problem comes because who gets involved? The parents. Okay? Right? That's a big, big marriage breaker, the in-laws. Okay? And so, you know, I tell my mom sometimes, Mom, I'm getting married. Stay away from my wife, you know. And I remember one time she said, oh, I'll be good to your wife, don't worry. And then she went to the church people, right? She's like, wait till he gets married, I'm gonna just nag at his wife. It's like, what? And there was this bit of like, oh, I'm gonna make her understand what it's like to be a... I was like, dude. And then she comes to me, she's like, I'm just kidding, whatever. I get kind of scared. But my mom went through so much with my father's mom, the in-law, and she understood like how difficult it was. But if my family knew that you're supposed to leave and cleave, it would have been much easier. Okay? So until marriage, you have to respect this idea that you're not married, you have no claim. And that's where patience and long suffering come in. When you want somebody and it doesn't go according to plan, then you have to wait and wait and see how the Lord will lead afterwards. Okay? But if you're in that dating situation with somebody, make sure that it's not, you're trying to stay as far away from the marriage concept in the relationship as possible. Is that clear? Alright, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we need great wisdom in this idea. Father, for we've been so brainwashed by the things of this world. We've been so consumed with love and lust. And no longer is love a self-sacrificial Christ-like love. It's more of out to get what we want in our own heart to make ourselves feel better. Father, I pray that you will clear up these misunderstandings as we study your word. And cause all who are in Titus Ministries, Lord, to be well trained and well molded into your image. That you'll provide all here a suitable helpmate for the future. Oh, I pray that men will hear, will learn to be men. As they study, they'll portray themselves as one who understands that this is the work. This is God's will for them. This is what will truly please the Lord. And for women, that they'll strive in their single lifestyle to study diligently as well. Not knowing who they will marry, but doing their best to strive in this culture, being sensitive to the way this culture is run, where everyone goes to college, and to study diligently, but at the same time, not leaning toward feminism, being a feminazi in any sense, but understanding their design as being a helper, not being a leader. Father, would you graciously help our church, Lord, and help us to grow in this aspect of relationships. Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. See you later, Paul.